The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this January 9th, Sunday, 2022. Tonight we're going to start off with, we need some serious prayer. We have two people, two men, that are not in good condition at all. We have Michael, who here is in the Cleveland Clinic with, he's on a respirator, and he's bleeding from the lungs, which is not good. And then we have Pastor Bruce, who also is in the ICU, also and not doing very good either. And Pastor Bruce is about 80 years old. So we need to hold these two men up. So if you folks out there are ready with me, I would go to prayer. And all you need to do is just agree with me in prayer on this. So there's much, much power and much, much prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we want to hold these two people up right now tonight, Michael and Pastor Bruce. And again, Lord, as we've been praying for him, asking one more time that you would intercede. You told us to pray in your word without ceasing. So we would like to intercede on their behalf and ask, Father God, Lord, that you might touch him and heal him. Heal both of them, Lord, and restore them. And then, Lord, turn their desires towards you more and more every day in every way, that they may hear those words someday. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Lord, let this be our prayer tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've got to preach a good message tonight because just as I was leaving tonight before the church, three lovely little ladies met me there right at the door of the church and told me that they listened to the program and they'll be listening tonight. And for those three little lovely ladies, what sweethearts, I will got to preach a good message tonight. And so the title of the message is right out of Proverbs 19:9. A false witness shall not go unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Again, that's a false witness shall not go unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Now, tonight we watched the film at the church. In fact, we watched two very good films there today, one after the morning service in the morning, and the other tonight before the evening service. The one in the morning took you into showing you why people are dying in hospitals, how many people are dying in the hospitals. And it shows you who's making the money. Why are they forcing these masks? How much money that these companies, your tax dollars, are getting to force people to take, the poisonous poke, and to force masks on these children. It's an outrageous amount of money. And we'll be showing this video again at some point. But I think we really need to do that again. And so, anyhow, we watched the film tonight on what happened on January 6th. And if you watch that, you will realize just how much. I mean, here's we watch what actually happened as it was filmed, as it took place, what actually happened. What actually happened. And we watched, too, as an innocent 110-pound Miss Babbitt was murdered. She was murdered by a dirty cop. How a 110-pound Miss Unarmed, how a young unarmed woman was murdered by a dirty cop. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, folks, the corruption has gotten so bad out there today. And the corruption there, it is totally, the Democratic Communist Party is totally corrupt. And then you find out just how much rogue agents of the FBI, and people discussing that tonight, people talking about how they remember how at one time the FBI used to have credibility. In fact, I did three radio programs with FBI agents, good people, decent people, who were not ashamed. They could hold their head up and be unashamed of being a part of that. The agency is not that way anymore. A fish rots from the head down. A fish rots from the head down. Because I was asked, aren't there any good people left in the FBI? Yeah, there's some, but they're down in lower levels. The top level up there where Christopher Wray is gotten bad. It has just gotten really corrupt, really, really corrupt. And then we watched Merrick Garland lie to us. He lied when he said that there was no election fraud. He lied when he said that there was insurrection by white supremacists. He lied when he said that he is committed to ensure the civil rights of all Americans. What a liar. What a liar. We watched what happened. We watched what happened in the summer of 2020, where all summer long they burnt, they looted, they burnt down cities, murdered 40 people, injured I don't know how many police officers. Just unbelievable. And you had Kamala Harris urging them on, saying, get out there and burn down the cities. She was urging them on. The corruption. And here you have this guy, this dirty cop, and that's exactly what he is, this Merrick Garland. He's a dirty cop, folks. When you have parents who are concerned about their children, you know, being what they're being taught, showing pornography, porn in the textbooks. So when the parents go to the school boards, and they're not, you know, because they're concerned about what it's their children are being taught and how they're using their own tax dollars against them to turn their children against them, to make their children ashamed if they're white, to come home and tell their parents that they should be ashamed of themselves for being white. This is evil. And so what does Merrick Garland do? Well, he weaponizes the FBI against the parents. He starts using the FBI to harass the parents for being concerned. Well, folks, it's got to stop. It's got to change. And our rights come from God, not from that extremely, totally, completely corrupt regime in Washington, D.C. And so we're going to start tonight here. And we start in Proverbs 19 with verse 5. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Verse 9. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. And so here, and then in verse 13, a foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife is continual dropping. Houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Well, What is he telling you about? Well, he's telling you about, you know, what does it say in Revelation 21:8? All liars will have their place in the lake of fire. And I've never seen such lying. I mean, it's like they can't actually, they can't tell the truth. It's you know, when you watch NBC, ABC, CBS, and this, you know, just watching how they reported what happened on January 6th, and then you take a look at what really happened on January 6th. It's unbelievable. And then a false witness shall not be unpunished. And they had so many false witnesses, so many. Okay? And he that speaketh lies shall perish. And again, when we watched 110-pound Ashley Babbitt standing there, looking through the glass, looking through the window, and then we see a dirty cop stick his gun out and murder her, and that's what it was. And he won't be tried because those people in that commission, there's not one single person on that January 6th commission, not one of them, that's a halfway decent individual. There is not one on that entire commission that could even be called a clean person. Not one. Not one. And the wickedness is unbelievable. Going to verse, a foolish son is the calamity of his father. If you want to raise a foolish son, here's a good way to do it. Send him to a public school. Put him in the public school system, and you'll end up with a foolish son. That's what their job is, to turn, to take out everything that you've taught you and instilled, all the decency, all the morality that you've tried to instill in your children. That public school system will remove it. The contentions of a wife. You want to have a contentious wife? Sit her in front of that stupid television and let her watch PU, The View, and whatever else is on there, the fake news, and you'll have a contentious, lazy wife. Houses and riches are inheritance of fathers. A prudent wife is from the Lord. You want a prudent wife? You got to pray and ask God to lead you, to provide for you a prudent wife. And so here, in fact, he tells you in Proverbs 19, well, let me see, I believe it was Proverbs, maybe I was wrong there. I was looking for Proverbs 18, I think it was 22 maybe, if I remembered. Whoso findeth the wife findeth the good things and obtain the favor of the Lord. And he's talking about a good wife. Now, I want to go over to where did all of this lying start? Where did it all come from? Well, the Bible clearly tells us exactly where it all comes from here. As we go over to John chapter 8, starting with verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, and neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, because of his own. For he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. You therefore hear it not, because you are not of God. Well, we have a government again that knowingly is killing people with a bioweapon. It's a very wicked, a very evil government. And trying to silence legitimate doctors doctors that are real doctors, those that are speaking out against this evil, and who are trying to warn people about this bioweapon, like the ones we've had here on this radio program, so many of them. Doctors and nurses, don't you think it tells you a whole lot, the fact that the one profession by far that refuses the poisonous poke, that refuses what they call the vax, are doctors and nurses. That should tell you something there. And they're trying to tell you you're being lied to. Those religious leaders were, in that day, in his day, were speaking of lies. In the Lord's day, when he says, if God were your father, you would love me. Why do you not understand my speech? Well, they were speaking the language of lies, their pride, their greed, their lust for power and control of people is what drove them. Now, today the left takes a page right from Karl Marx's playbook and accuses, do you notice what they were doing? They were accusing the Lord Jesus of having a devil when they served the father of the devil. When they served their father, the devil, rather. Now, I am personally, folks, today, I can tell you, I really doubt the salvation of any of those today that are so spiritually blind as to trust a corrupt and murderous government. Those that will take the shot will be among the first to take the mark. You can believe that. Those that take the sharp, but those that encourage you, especially, I would call no pastor who encourages people to take the shot, will I call brother. I will have nothing to do with that person. Nothing. Now, those doctors, politicians, school teachers, media, whores, and especially those pastors that intentionally lie to the unsuspecting and trusting people, whatever they think that they may gain for doing such, well, God knows your true motives, folks. He knows your true motives. I want you to go over to Psalm chapter 40, to Psalm 40. And in Psalm 40, we read verse 4. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such a turn aside to lies. Let me read that again. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Verse 9, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lip, O Lord, that thou knowest. But I want to go back to 39, verse 11. When thou rebukes, dost not correct. When thou with rebukes dost correct a man for iniquity, thou make it his beauty to consume away like a moth, and surely every man is vanity. Now, here, there were those clergy, doctors, politicians, in Hitler's day, and especially in the media in Hitler's day, they tried to justify their collusion with the evil by falsely saying that the Bible teaches us to obey a government even when it is corrupt and evil. The Bible does not teach you to obey a government corrupt and evil. The Bible teaches you to obey God, and the Bible teaches the government to obey God. And that's reality. Why is this? I get this all the time. Pastor they're asking me continuously, why aren't more preachers preaching this? We believe what you're saying, but why aren't more preachers preaching this? And the fact of it is, most of them just don't have the courage. We have a tremendous dearth of courage. This nation, during the War for Independence, that war was led by the Black-Robed Regiment. Those were pastors, men of God, understanding that our rights come from God, not from corruption. Not from the tyranny of a corrupt government. Now, again, folks, we are to be separatists. We are to be separatists. Come out from amongst them, be you separate from them. And not engage in fellowship with people that are so quick, to compromise. Now, I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4. And in Ephesians chapter 4, we read, and I may have to step over here. I believe I may have a little bottle of water over here. And I don't have to get too far away from the mic, I think. Yep, I do. Good, because I've been doing a lot of preaching today. And about this time of night, my voice starts giving out on me sometimes. And tonight I also led the singing at the church, which takes a little bit of a toll. That was good. Now, I'm getting my voice back. This is a little bit of tonic water, and it's really cold. All right, I'm over here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbors, for we are members of one another, be you angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him that labor working, and his hands, with his hands, and things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all the bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be you kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, and I'm going to jump down here to 5. For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now you are in the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And so here we see that, well, it takes me back to a conversation that I had some years ago with a Presbyterian preacher. And this Presbyterian preacher was telling me, he said, you know, I agree. We had a conversation about child killing, abortion. And he said, I agree with everything that you just said. But Pastor Sanders, if I were to preach that in my church, I'm afraid, sir, I would offend so many people in that congregation. Now, here, this Presbyterian preacher was talking about the sin again of abortion. And I told him, and see, that kind of made me a little bit angry because I hear this a lot. I'm sorry, I just don't have a lot of tolerance for prissy preachers. I just don't. We're supposed to be bold. The Bible says we're supposed to be bold as lions, and we're supposed to honor God with courage. We're supposed to be like Daniel, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're supposed to be brave and bold, folks. And not compromisers. Not lukewarm, not compromisers. And so here, I told them with a righteous anger, if you were to preach on that horrible, horrible sin of abortion to your congregation, you wouldn't have so many women in there killing their unborn, their innocent unborn babies, now would you? And I said, now listen, if you love those people the way you say you do, you'll tell them what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. And that's exactly what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to tell them. That's what a preacher is supposed to do. Look, we're just the messengers, the messages from God. God doesn't compromise. And his preachers aren't. Just imagine if the preachers had courage, honor, and integrity, bold men like those that we had that led this in the war for independence, we wouldn't have 150 million dead babies. Our boys and girls wouldn't be confused about what gender they are. You wouldn't have what they call same-sex marriage. You wouldn't have boys going into the girls' showers with them. You wouldn't have all of what you have. Not only that, but marriages would last like they were supposed to. Today you've got wife swapping, marriage, what do they call it? They call it open marriages, but there's other things too that some really strange names for what they're doing out there today. You wouldn't have that if the pastors were bold and not compromisers. What kind of an example are these prosperity preachers? What do the young boys, the young men look at them and say, those guys, boy, they know how to fleece the flock. They know how to shake them down. That's the opinion. That's not the opinion that young men are to have of preachers. But that's, I'm afraid, that's what it is out there today. And so here, wherefore, putting away lying, speaking with every man truth with his neighbor. Speaking truth with his neighbor. When he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of... Well, let me tell you about how do you grieve the Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit when you fail to do what God's Word, the Bible, demands that you do. That's right. You grieve the Holy Spirit when you fail to stand, be bold, stand against sin, and fight on the Lord's side. When you fail to resist tyranny, you grieve the Holy Spirit. When you fail to feed the hungry, to house the homeless, to clothe the naked, to visit those that are sick or in prison, you grieve the Holy Spirit. When you fail to be doers of the word, not just hearers only, you grieve the Holy Spirit. And so it's an amazing thing today. I want to go over to Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, here we read. Starting with, well, verse 9. Chapter 3, Colossians 3, verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. And so, again, you know, we're dealing with this lying. Lying to one another disrupts unity by destroying trust. It tears down relationships. And, well, what does lying do just in the church? It causes much, much conflict within the church. But it's never right to lie. I actually had people tell me, I actually had a man, and he believed this, tell me that even Jesus lied, but he lied for the right reasons. No, he didn't. God, who cannot lie, you know, Jesus did not lie. And they say, well, what about the times in the Bible where people lied and God rewarded them for it? Well, no, God rewarded them for doing the right thing. And they always bring up Shifra and Pua, those who worked for the government. They were actually, well, what did you call them? If I remember right, they were called, I want to say wet nurses, but that's not what they really were. Let me see. They were midwives. That's what I was trying to think of, Hebrew midwives. But they worked for the government. They were employed by Pharaoh. One was Shifra and the other was Pua. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you should kill him. But if it be a daughter, she'll be born alive. But you see here, and so, but listen to what it says, because you'll often hear people say, well, yeah, you see now, they lied to Pharaoh. No, they didn't lie to Pharaoh. He said, if it be a son, then you should kill him. But if it be a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as Egyptian women, for they're lively and they're delivered ere the midwives get into them. Well, let me tell you what they were doing. Those old midwives made very, very sure that they took their good old time. They weren't lying. They were just taking their good old time and getting to the Hebrew women and making sure that they heard a baby cry, I think, along the way, you see. And so, that was it. And giving them time to take the male child and hide him away from the abortionists of that day. Those were the Democrats. Pharaoh was like the Joe Biden of that day, folks. There's not enough innocent babies in the wombs of women in this country to quench the thirst of Joe Biden for abortion. If he had his way, he'd kill every single baby. And so, when he talks about this, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That means once you get saved, you're not supposed to be doing sinning again, and lying is sinning. So to those that have been blinded by the lies, you know, we are looked upon with distrust and anger by the unsaved. Unsaved sons and daughters will deny grandparents actually access to. I heard more grandparents telling me how they're not allowed to see their grandchildren, out of ignorance. They trust a corrupt and a lost world more than their own parents. And so many older people, the grandparents of today, they've got the wisdom. They have a much better understanding. And as we said it before, one of the biggest mistakes that people have made in this country, terrible mistakes, and I hear it from all the time, is the fact that they allowed their children to be so dumbed down. They sent their children to the public school system. And for years and years, we warned people, if you love your children, get them out of the public school system. Get them out of there if you love them. And why? Well, what has it done? I want to go over to Proverbs chapter 1, starting with verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Let me read that again. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Hear. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, and let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. That's exactly what's happening, not only by abortion and euthanasia, but now by the depopulation. This whole thing about depopulating, using... Let me read to you again that statement from Henry Kissinger. And we were talking about this back then. I talked about it. And here... This was Henry Kissinger quotes from a speech to the World Health Organization Council on Eugenics on February 25th, 2009. Once the herd accepts mandatory vaccinations, it's game over. They will accept anything. Forcible blood or organ donations. He actually means harvesting, right? But it's all for the greater good. We can genetically modify children, and we can sterilize them now. And that's for the greater good. We control the sheep's minds, and you control the herd. Vaccine makers stand to make billions, and many of you in this room are investors. It's a big win-win. We thin out the herd, and the herd pays us for extermination services. There you go, folks. That is the mindset. That's what we're up against. Now, here he goes on to say, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us and let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Remember, that's communism. Remember what Obama used to say all the time? There will be a transfer of the wealth, to transfer the wealth from those that have earned it to those that deserve it. And who are those that deserve it? Well, according to Obama, it's whoever the so-called liberal elite decide. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They look privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. That's exactly what communism's all about. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates of the city. She uttereth her words. The Gates of the City is talking about government, and wisdom is trying to, and we are trying to place people in government that have wisdom. But today in this country, it's a horrible thing. We've got so much corruption. But praise God for that small minority of people that he's kept, that remnant of decent people that he's kept there. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity and scorners delight in scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known words unto you. But I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel, and have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and when your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they have hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Now, many parents have made, again, we mentioned it, a terrible, terrible mistake in allowing their children to go to the government schools, that have taught their children to lose respect and confidence in their parents' ability to give them wise counsel. They look upon their parents as superstitious or irreligious fanatics, and more and more. I'm hearing that more and more from parents, as those who, as those that change with the times. I've noticed, however, that there seems to be, at least in some areas. Now I kind of remember, and a lot of you parents out there know what I'm talking about, where you're raising your children, especially in their teen years, and all of a sudden they become know-it-alls, and especially if you had them in a public school. But then as they get older, as they go through their 20s, and then as they get into their 30s, all of a sudden, now they're more interested, and now they're seeking mom and dad, and now they're going back to mom and dad for counsel and for encouragement. So it seems like the older they get, the smarter us grandparents get, apparently. Now, what was once a noble profession of teaching now has become one of greed and selfish ambition for many. Indoctrination into communism has replaced what we used to get called education. Remember those things that we called the 3 R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic? Now today they get critical race theory. Folks, again, the days that we're living in. But it's up to you. You see, God has allowed us at such a time as this. God has allowed us at such a time as this too. He's testing us. Are we going to meet the challenge like our founding fathers did, the early church fathers? Look, he gave us one great country, but our great country is deteriorating very, very quickly. Very quickly. It's time for you to raise up. It's time for you to be bold. Here, I want to go over now to Psalm 101. To Psalm 101. Excuse me. Like, you know, when you're preaching and singing all day, and my day started very early, you get that tickle in your throat, that dry cough. And so you got to to wet it down to keep going here. He says, this is a Psalm of David, and here it's a prayer to help walk a blameless path to live with integrity, both our efforts and God's help are very, very necessary to do such a thing. And this is what David's talking about. He says, I will sing of the mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord. I will sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? And I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. So David knew here that he couldn't live a blameless life and on his own, that he was going to seriously need God's help to do that. And so he says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside, and it shall not cleave to me. See, David's got good intentions. God said David was a man after his own heart. He had the best intentions often, but like the rest of us, every now and then, when he messed up, he really messed up. But God looked upon his heart, and he saw what his intentions were. He said, a forward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Now, here, when we look at this, David probably had written this psalm early in his reign, as he set down the standards he wanted to follow. Now, he knew that he was to walk a blameless path. He would really need God's help. Now, here, when you see what he's talking about, he's telling us that these are the things that we have to avoid here, looking at wickedness, evil associates, slander, while avoiding the wrongs here that we just said listed here. We must also let God's word show us and give us the standards, and that's exactly to live by what it does. Here, again, David had made up his mind to avoid temptations and the lust of the flesh. Those who speak out against people privately and not to their face, he will not tolerate. He would appoint those that walk in a perfect way to serve under him in government. The lesson for us is pray to God for help in living a blameless life, to fellowship with righteous people, to hire and elect saved people, and to stand against the wicked, and all the wickedness. And it's today we have the media, and we mentioned all of what I was listening here this past week. Well, starting with last Wednesday, the 5th, and then as we went to January 6th, they were in full mode, and they were telling lies one on top of the other. I mean, unbelievable. And that's why we showed that film tonight, and once you watched the film, an hour and 38 minutes, and you compared what you were actually watching, what was actually being said, what was actually being done, with what you heard on NBC, ABC, and that January 6th council, how corrupt those people are, folks. I'm going to tell you, there's not one individual on that entire council that is not completely corrupted. I would be absolutely astonished. I mean, and I would be absolutely astonished if any of them ever escaped the fires of hell, because they sat there and lied, one lie after another lie after another lie. And why am I just telling you this? Am I mean? Or no, I'm not. I'm trying to explain to you. Remember how John the Baptist stood out and he yelled out, "Herod!" Now, John the Baptist didn't go around talking about Herod behind his back. No, he confronted him. And it's the same thing. What we're doing with these people out there, the wickedness, we're putting it right out there. And remember how Jesus went in the temple and he overthrew the money changers? And he didn't whisper behind their back. He went and he confronted them. And that's what we're doing on this radio program tonight. We're telling it the way it is. We're letting people know the actuality, what's really taking place out there today. The corruption is ultimate. I cannot find one thing, I cannot find one thing about the entire Democratic Communist Party that is not totally corrupt. I mean, not one thing, nothing at all. They are totally and completely corrupted. I wanted to, for example, go over to 2 Corinthians. In the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we read this. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." That's exactly what I'm talking about. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Let me read that again. "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So, this is what we're talking about here tonight. You have to, as the Apostle Paul said, refute, rebuke, reprove, and exhort. In other words, as I was telling that Presbyterian preacher, if you love them, tell them the truth. If they're lying, tell them to stop lying. Tell them, rebuke them. If they're stealing, rebuke them. And when they're murdering people, whether it be by abortion, euthanasia, or if they're trying to depopulate the entire planet with these bioweapons that they call vaccines, you need to preach out to these people and tell them very clearly that there's an extremely painful, an extremely painful eternity in torment for those that do such things. And you need to tell them that, look, it boils down to this: repent or perish, repent or perish, repent or perish. Now, yesterday I preached a funeral. Not yesterday, I'm sorry, that was Friday. Funerals are always for the living. They're not for the dead. As we always say, the only one that's not here today is the deceased. And it's always good, so much easier to preach a funeral for those that are saved. Because you have to be very truthful. And, you know, you can't, those that you know that were outright unrepentant sinners, the best you can do is hope that they had repented before they died, that they still had a chance. Because a lot of times God gives them a little glimpse of hellfire, enough to make them repent and call upon his name. And it's always so much easier to preach a funeral for those that you know were saved. And so I always tell people that if there's anyone here that has not received Christ as a Savior, and you know there always is, there's always friends and family members that are not saved. Nobody came forth yesterday. Oh, I would be much happier if everybody was saved. But Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Many will come, but few will enter. In other words, he's telling you that only a remnant of those. Many, many people have a profession of faith, but very few have a possession of salvation. And so this is why we always give that invitation at the end of the program, because that's the last thing we want you to remember before you go to bed at night. We want you to take that with you and ask yourself, if I died in my sleep, and by the way, folks, a whole lot of people are doing that lately. I mean, a lot of people are dying in their sleep lately. We're finding out, especially a lot of these young athletes that have taken the shot, those that have taken the poisonous poke, many of them. And so out there tonight, if you should die in your sleep, we want you to think about that before you go to sleep. Where would you spend eternity? And if you can't say, Pastor, I know that if I die tonight, I'd go home to be with the Lord. Well, you're in more trouble than you can imagine, because there's a chance that you will die tonight, and you don't want to take that chance. There's a whole lot of people that are going to run out of tomorrows tonight all over this world, and the vast majority of them have no intentions of dying, but that's not their call. So if you're listening to me tonight and you have not made that decision, I urge you to pray to the Father, as the Lord Jesus said. Ask for forgiveness of your sins. This is what he said, exactly how he says. And if you've done that, then call on the name of the Lord. Ask him to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without reservations, completely and totally. And if you do that, God who cannot lie, God who cannot lie, you will be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You will become a new creature. You will become a new creature. God becomes your spiritual father, and you'll be on your way to eternity. You'll be on your way to immortality. You will do that. You've got God's word upon it, which is the most sure thing that ever existed. Well, until tomorrow, we want to say good night, God bless, and always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.